Deuteronomy 32. Let's bow our heads again. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you that you've given us a heart and a mind, Lord, to come out and to seek to worship our God. To declare and ascribe unto our God the greatness and the glory and the power that holds together this vast universe and is directing all things according to your sovereign purpose and will. And Lord, according to the covenant that you finished before the world was. We ask, Lord, you bless us this day. Give us a seeing eye, a hearing ear, and an understanding heart, Lord, that we might be able to look into your word and see our Lord Jesus Christ as all our salvation. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. We ask your mercies upon us today, and we confess, Lord, that we're sinners, each and every one of us, and that there's none of us worthy of your blessings. But you and your free grace and mercy and sovereign power have made us to hear and understand and believe the truth concerning your dear Son. As sinners and worshipers, we come, Lord, begging your mercies upon us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Deuteronomy 32. Our Lord says here in verse 1, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." God calls all of the heavens, all of the inhabitants of the heavens, everything that's in the heavens, to give ear, to listen, pay attention to the words of his mouth, and all the inhabitants of the earth. And he says in verse 2, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." Now, we've got no control over the rain. We receive the rain. We get rained on. Some of our best laid plans get rained out. But we get rained on. And the word of the Lord is like rain in that it brings life. Now, the rain that he's speaking of here is, let me read through this again. "My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb." Now, the dew comes absolutely silently. No great outward manifestation of it coming, but when it's come, it's just there. There's the dew. It came not with a great roar or a great thunder or anything like that. It just appeared. And so it is with the Word of God in our hearts.
Amen.
God comes along and secretly, silently, with an almighty power, puts his word in our hearts and causes us to believe his gospel.
Amen.
And it comes down as it will, not at our will, but as he wills. He sends the dew upon us, and it's like the small rain. Not giant drops that would kill us like the law, a fiery law, that would scorch us and burn us and bring death to us. But this is like the small rain that's cool and refreshing and is blessing to us. That's his gospel. And he causes us to hear by giving us, by first putting us under the gospel, giving us that great privilege of hearing that gospel that is of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's actually by hearing him speak to us through the word that he brings to our ears by the preaching of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us through these words of the prophets and of the apostles, declaring to us the good news that the mediator is come. Let me look here. Second Corinthians 13:3. Second Corinthians 13:3. The apostle says here, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. Which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. Now the false preachers had gone out and said, well, Paul wasn't one of the original 12. He didn't see the miracles. He didn't walk with the Lord, and so his apostleship is not as great as John, Peter, and James and these. And we're not so sure that Christ speaks through him at all. But Paul says, since you the church at Corinth seek a sign of Christ speaking in me, well, Christ still speaks through lips of clay, feeble, trembling lips of clay that are weak, his word to his people. Look at John 6, 63. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, when the Lord speaks to a man, the word of life, that person got no choice but to live. He just comes along and speaks. And says, live. It's a word of command. And he gives life to those to whom he speaks the word of life. And to that person, it's like the dew. Didn't do anything to get it. Can't stop it. Can't turn it away. It's just there. And it's like the small rain. It comes gently. The Lord speaks through these words that he causes men to preach in men's hearing, and by them conveys spiritual life to them. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now it is the Spirit that causes that word of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, that causes that word to bring life to us.
Yeah.
Without the Spirit of God, this is a dead letter.
Yeah, it is.
But it is He who makes it our life. He makes it life unto us. So, now let's go back to Deuteronomy 32. My doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, the teaching, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Christ, my doctrine shall be as the rain that gives life wherever I send it. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. I'll declare my name. Actually, what that means, I'll declare myself. Who He is, His attributes, His nature, His purpose, His grace, His covenant, His counsel. God declares Himself unto us. And when He declares His name unto us, look at Exodus. Hold your place there in Deuteronomy. Look at Exodus, I think it's 34:6. But I'm not sure, so let's go see where it is. Well, now I was wrong about that. So I get confused on that verse sometimes, and I can't remember where it's at. Let me see here. Yeah, Exodus 33:19. And let's begin our reading at verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me your glory. Show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. In other words, I'm going to talk about all of my attributes, all my goodness, my mercy, my grace, my covenant, my gospel, my son. I'm going to proclaim myself. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now, to have the name of the Lord declared unto us is to have His gospel declared unto us, all the attributes of God declared unto us, and to understand who God is by that is to know God, and to know God is eternal life. If we hear the declaration of His name, who He is, what He has done, where He is now, how He did it by His Son, how He justifies the ungodly, how He pardons our sins by the blood of Christ. To have that understanding and that knowledge is to have God in our heart and have eternal life. All right, let's go back to Deuteronomy. I will publish the name of the Lord. Now, that's what we do. We publish the name of the Lord very feebly, I confess. And we would do 10,000 times better than we do. But we can only do what the Holy Spirit gives us to do. We can't go beyond that. We're just instruments. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. He's the rock of salvation. He's the rock of ages. He's that rock that we build on, and when the winds come and the rains blow and all those things, the things of life comes, that it'll stand because we're built on the rock. Yeah. He's the rock that had to be smitten.
Yeah.
And when it was smitten, it brought forth that everlasting life. He's the stone of Israel. He is the rock of our salvation. He's the rock of ages. He is the rock and His work is perfect. What He does in us is perfect. And what He does with us, creating us in Christ Jesus for an habitation of God by the Spirit, being that house of God, His holy temple, that's perfect too. Not that we have any perfection in ourselves, but by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did.
Amen.
Our perfection is not what we are in these mortal bodies, but it's what we are in the Spirit. It's what we are in Christ. It's what God is making, using us as the materials. What it is, that building, that it is an habitation of God by the Spirit that He is creating in Christ Jesus. He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Now I want to go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. And I want to read through several verses here, and I hope you'll be patient with me while I read through these verses. Now this is Paul writing to the Hebrews, and he said, "Then verily the first covenant, that is the covenant of the law, first covenant had also an ordinance of divine worship and a worldly sanctuary." Now everything about that first covenant and its worship was worldly. Had a worldly sanctuary. The Ark of the Covenant was made out of shittim wood overlaid with gold. It had curtains and tents and all of that. Everything about that was of the earth, earthy. It was of this world. And a worldly sanctuary, and there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. All of those things were things of this earth. They were all made of things of this earth. And after the second veil that separated the holy place from the holiest of all, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And they all came from the earth, even the tables of the covenant, cut in stone. Over which the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. While as the first tabernacle was yet standing, it wasn't made manifest until Christ Jesus hung on that cross, was buried, and rose again. Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, which could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to his conscience. Now it would speak peace to all those Old Testament services, would speak peace to the conscience for a year, but after a year, then the conscience was defiled with sin again, and the whole thing had to be repeated over and over and over and over again. And all those things which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Now all those things were what Paul called weak and beggarly. look at Colossians 2:20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, well, it's from the rudiments of the world. Now, the rudiments of the world are all of those worldly elements that were used in worship in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats, the brazen altar, all those things were elements of the world. They were wherefore if you be dead with Christ from, and you're dead from those rudiments. In other words, when we were crucified with Christ, as we were at Calvary, we were delivered from all of those elements of the Old Testament, from the Old Testament form of worship, from the observance of days and weeks and months and holidays and all those kind of things. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with using after the commandments and doctrines of men. All those things are just now commandments and doctrines of men that Judaism teachers would bring the free children of God back under as a yoke of bondage. Now, I wanted to find where Paul calls them weak and beggarly elements. And I think it's maybe in Colossians, in Galatians 4. Let me see. Remember where it's at right now. Anyway, the Apostle Paul calls all those worldly elements that were used under the Old Testament worship weak and beggarly elements. All right, let's go back now to Hebrews chapter 9 again. Verse 11, where he says, "But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come." Now, all of that Old Testament worship was shadows and pictures of Christ, who is the substance that cast the shadows. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Not that tabernacle of gold, which they had. The boards of it was covered with gold. Everything about that thing was covered with gold. There was curtains and hangings of scarlet and blue and all these precious colors and so on. But Christ has come in a better tabernacle. That's his human nature, his human body. It's a better tabernacle, and it's better because it's a more perfect tabernacle because it could answer every type in that tabernacle. That he tabernacled in, he could answer every type that was prescribed in the Old Testament form of worship. All the blood of those animals pointed to his blood that he had in his veins and arteries in that, and the blood of that covenant which Moses sprinkled upon the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God hath ordained, hath enjoined unto you." The blood of the covenant that is enjoined to us is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the blood of the everlasting covenant. And he said in Matthew 26:28, he said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." Now, for whomsoever our Lord Jesus Christ shed the blood of the everlasting covenant, shed his precious blood, they absolutely have no sin in the eyes of God.
Amen.
Because he took that sin away by his death. And even our old dead man, that one was that was crucified. Know ye that our old man was crucified with Christ. Even our old man, that vile nature that he has, is not accounted to us. He took that sin of having that nature. He washed us from that. Still with us. We still have it. We still have sin in our members. But God doesn't account it. Well, that's dead. He said, let me read that to you. Hold a place right there. Romans Romans 6:3. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That old man that has that corrupt, vile nature. God nailed him to a tree. Mm-hmm. God dealt with our old nature. And even the sin of that nature that we have and that we struggle against every day, God doesn't count that against us. Now let me move on here. I'm getting too slow. But Christ being come the high priest of good things to come. I'm back in Hebrews 9:11. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now notice, it's eternal redemption. Having obtained, it's already obtained for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, and went no farther, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the remission of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now, for this cause, what cause? Well, the cause is that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. God has promised everyone that believeth an inheritance of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's promised eternal life. He has given eternal life. Now, this is to be accomplished by means of death of the mediator. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, this is how he's going to accomplish the gift of the inheritance to all of them who are called by his death for them. By his death in their place, in their room instead, by them being accounted as crucified with him, dead with him, dead to the law and dead to sin, dead to the curse and penalty of sin. We're dead to all that. Because we died in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Yet nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament. In other words, we had broken God's law. Every day, with every breath, with every thought, we broke God's law. Love the Lord thy God with all thy strength and all thy mind. When did we ever fulfill that? We never did. But he did. And we're not alive in ourselves anymore. We're alive in him. We're not in the flesh, but we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have obeyed in him as he loved the Father. So have we loved the Father in him. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, which is the everlasting covenant of grace. that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We're going to hear those words one of these days. Well, now let me read on here just a little bit more, and I'll close with this next paragraph or so. For where a testament is, that's the New Testament, which is the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is no strength at all while the testator liveth. Wherefore, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of these of things in the heavens should be purified with these. In other words, all of those Old Testament patterns and types and pictures were purified by the sprinkling of the blood of that covenant, which was the blood of bulls and goats mingled with water. But the heavenly things themselves, heavenly sanctuary, and us, we're the ones sprinkled with that blood of the everlasting covenant of the New Testament. And it is that frees our conscience from dead works to serve the living God, being perfected in the Lord Jesus Christ, having absolutely no confidence whatsoever in ourselves. We're left out of the picture. We're dead. We were crucified at Calvary, and we ought to have been. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are a figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's there pleading our cause. Having given already everything that is required for our eternal acceptance with God. Amen. It's all in Him. And we make no contribution. What He has done is perfect. It can't be added to, it can't be taken away from, it can't be altered in any way. And if anybody would alter it, that proves they don't know a thing in the world about it. So we're thankful for those things. And we're thankful for the blood. The blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Well, this is our time for the communion service, so we'll...